I can't tell everybody what it is. But like, there are some things for me, it was like, how can I get in the heads of the people I'm working with? And if I can keep getting in their head and keep providing solutions, then I don't have to just like be in their face all the time. I can just do good work and let the referral, you know, hopefully let the talk keep growing. So that's why I thought, I'm going to go on social media and see what happens.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome to the Brands That Book Show, where we help creative businesses find more clients and build their brands. I'm your host, Davey Jones. Today's guest is business strategist and financial coach, Shanna Skidmore. Shanna helps entrepreneurs make money doing what they love by building profitable and sustainable businesses. She's even been nicknamed the Dream Releaser by her clients. And her background in finance, psychology, and art have allowed her to marry the worlds of business and creativity. Today, she's chatting with me about managing money, common money pitfalls, and how to price your services. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
I've been really excited for this interview. I know so many people that you've worked with, and they all have just incredible things to say about you and the experience going through, you know, whatever it is, working with you personally or going through the blueprint model. And I want to talk about all of that later in the interview.
Yeah.
But I am so excited just to talk about money, because I think we all get into business wanting to make money, but money can be difficult. Money can be difficult for all sorts of reasons. It can be hard to know when to save it, when to spend it, what to spend it on. It can be hard to have a healthy perspective on money, I think. And those are all things that you seem to tackle with people.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to dig into that and just talk about how people can develop a healthy perspective around money, what they should be doing with their money when they first get started, just so that they can, you know, live that life that they set out to live in their dreams as they started their business.
Right. Absolutely. I'm so excited. Thanks for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
Yeah, cool. Well, first, I want to talk about your business to get started. How did you get into this? How did you start working with? Because you work primarily with creative women.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you have a background in finance.
Mm-hmm.
And I also saw that you have a background in art as well.
Uh-huh.
So how did you get into this industry, starting to work with creative women?
Yeah, I stumbled into it, really.
It's so funny how
so
many
thankful.
People say that. You know, it's so funny how many people are like, yeah, I stumbled into it.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, I feel like I never set out to do, I mean, this is like the perfect career for me, but I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So quick background. I went to school have a business finance degree and also a psychology degree. And then I took every art class I ever could. So I almost have an art degree as well, but I didn't take art history. So I never completed the art degree. So I was like, who needs an art degree, right? That's so terrible. But I always say, like, I felt like such a misfit puzzle. I never really knew how finance and psychology and art came together into one thing. And so right after college, I started working in finance. And I did that for 5 years. And I did personal and business financial planning. I was a financial advisor for a Fortune 100 company. So I got married, and about probably 3 months after we got married, my husband, who also worked in finance at the time, I was like, if you ever meet him, you'll know that's like not his personality. He'll be like, let's talk about your money and sit down with people. And so I was like, if you could do anything, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to design and build airplanes. And that led us down this 5-year path of him going back to school, and we moved to Atlanta for him to do that. And so I left my financial career, because finance is just like having probably like a photography business. Like, you establish yourself oftentimes in a location, and it can be challenging to move it. And so when we moved to Atlanta, I was contacted by a venture capitalist firm. So think Shark Tank.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Shark Tank. That would have been cool. But it was another venture capitalist firm. And they were working with a startup fashion designer in Atlanta. And so they needed somebody to come in as the term controller, that fancy word, which is operations and finance. So that's what really got me into the creative world. And that was back in 2011. And I started seeing that there's this true breakdown, I feel like, in the world of finance and the world of creativity. It's like this dichotomy, I guess, and there's no overlap. And oftentimes, most creative businesses are, a lot of them, started by women. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of intimidation there. And finance is a male-dominated industry. And so I think I just became a bridge builder, I feel like, between the world of finance and creativity. And it brought all those, and I always say I'm really like a money therapist. So that's where the psychology comes in. And so it's been a really amazing, I'm so blessed and thankful for the way that the Lord's blessed it. But so now I've been doing that now, 7 years. And so I was working one-on-one with clients. I started with a fashion designer, then went into floral design. And then it just started building. Now I've worked with virtual assistants, interior designers, every wedding industry you can ever think of, professional, graphic design, brick and mortar stores, online shops. I mean, so it's been really cool to see how some simple financial teachings can really help my creative friends make money doing what they love. And I'm just so thankful to get to do that.
Yeah, I would assume that even across the kinds of people that you work with, you probably see some common pitfalls, you know, because I think that really, regardless of what you're doing, you probably, whether you're a floral designer, whether you're a photographer, whatever, you probably run into, you know, similar issues, especially when you're starting your business. And so many of us, you know, my undergrad degree is in theology, and then I have a master's in multicultural education, which is, you know, I feel like I've learned a ton from that. And I'm so thankful for those degrees and those experiences, because I don't think God wastes anything. But I don't have a background in finance, you know? Yeah. So dealing with that, dealing with taxes and things like that, it's overwhelming and intimidating to a certain extent. So going back to the beginning of your business, did you just find your first clients really based on word of mouth? And when did you split off onto your own?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yes, I worked with a fashion designer for about a year, and mm-hmm. I was actually employed. I was basically employed by the venture capitalist firm. So I was like an employee there. Mm-hmm. And so I knew after about a year that I had done what my gifting is there, and they just really needed a maintenance person, and which is great. But I'm not a maintenance person. I like to be challenged. And so I was like, I just don't know. I knew that there was something there, but I didn't know how to make that happen. At that time, there weren't, that I knew of, a lot of like business coaching for creatives or consultants in the creative world. That was a totally unheard of. I mean, there was like Marie Forleo, I guess, mm-hmm. but that's kind of all that I knew. And I didn't even know much about her. So I didn't know how to do it. And I came home crying though, like every single day. I was so just like, this is not, I'm not a job kind of person. Mm-hmm. I am an entrepreneur. And so one day my husband was just like, quit your job. I was like, seeing that I have hair bills and you're in school, that's not really a possibility. But it's funny, like many people that get into the creative world, I had done flowers for my own wedding and for some friends. And I had thought like, it was something I was just curious about. Like, maybe I want to do flowers. I've always been a creative person. And so I quit and I reached out to a floral designer in Atlanta and was like, can I just shadow you? And it's funny, at the same time, most people don't know this about my story, but I didn't know what I was doing. I just reached out to her. But at the same time, I also reached out to a venture capitalist firm and I was like shadowing them. I applied to get my MBA at Emory in Atlanta. Like, I was just like throwing spaghetti on the wall. I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do with my life, but I'm just going to look into all these curiosity, like things mm-hmm. I'm curious about. So I started doing flowers. I knew after two weddings I was not meant to be a wedding florist. Like, that was not my deal. But it's funny, the same thing started happening. We were at the second wedding. I was driving back with my friend Amy, who's a floral designer. And I was just like, why are we, this 3 a.m., 3 in the morning, we're driving back, like, can't hardly see it. We're so tired. I was like, why don't you have somebody break down these events? And she said to me, I don't have money for that. Like, how do you? And I was just like, that can't, in my head, you know, I'm just like, that can't cost more than $150. Like, how do you not have money to pay that person? And I just started asking these questions that come very naturally to me because I'm a money person. And I always ask the questions I'm not supposed to ask, like, how much money do you make? And do you really make money? You know?
Yeah.
And so I started working with her. And so I just like did flowers and did money. And I did that for a year and a half. And Amy had such a big name in the creative industry. She was kind of like the original players in the wedding world and that kind of fine art world. And people just started noticing. So really all my referrals were word of mouth. So I did that, started with her in 2012. But it wasn't until the end of 2013 that I officially launched my business. And that's something I think I want to share with more people. And I want more people to know that I did. I threw it all on the wall. I did anything somebody would pay me to do until I figured out what I felt like worked, what I figured out like how to do this thing. And sometimes I think we often like want to have a business plan. And I'm the blueprint model I teach is a business planning model. But it's like sometimes you just have to do.
Yeah.
And then you figure out the plan later. And so that's what I did for almost 2 years. I didn't officially have a business. But then I got so many calls and emails, which I'm thankful for. I was like, I guess I should figure out what this is called and how to charge for it. And what I do and what I don't do. And so 2013, I officially launched Shanna Skidmore Consulting.
Yeah, it's so funny for so many people. I mean, the key to getting started is just to start. And good for you. I mean, coming back from that wedding, you could have just been like, this isn't for me, and kind of shut your brain off there and not explored it any further. But then you start asking these questions. And I'm sure for you, that's the kind of stuff that's life-giving for you, you know? And so what a perfect merge of all of your interests.
Yeah.
So you start meeting with those first couple clients, right?
Yeah.
And as you start meeting with them, do you see right away like, hey, these are a couple problems that plague kind of all small businesses, maybe, or all creative small businesses when they're getting started? Did you notice a trend or common characteristics there?
Absolutely. So absolutely, hands down. I feel like that's why I was like, there's something here. Because I saw the patterns were always the same. Most, and I'm sure a lot of people listening, I would say, like, why did you start your business? For most people in the creative industry, it was because they wanted to create whatever their art is. Or, you know, they did, again, like so many in the wedding industry, like they did paper goods for their own wedding and then are now do paper goods. Or so I would say the creativity came first, the business came second. And so what I started seeing is that all these amazing women that had extremely beautiful talents, they were doing great building businesses on their talent, like, well, they were building up their brand, I guess, and brand awareness. But the patterns on the financial side and the business side were the same. A lot of them had a lot of money coming in, but it went out just as fast. So they weren't holding on to any money. And something Amy shares very openly about her story, the floral designer I worked with, when I met her, she had sat down with a financial advisor just maybe a month before, and he said, your business is bankrupt. Do you need to close it down? And because of that, she had a ton of money coming in, but it went out just as fast. So that was the first thing I saw. The second was there was no understanding of cost, like what truly cost is in your business. And you know, in a creative world, I think we talk a lot about price and we kind of look at everybody else's price online and like, okay, I think this is a good number, but we don't understand why to price. Price is all about cost and understanding time and cost. And so that's what I saw with my fashion designer. That's exactly what I saw with Amy, my floral designer, and every other industry. I started thinking that there is a pricing formula. There really is. And because we all have costs, we all have time, and we all have to account for margin. So that was another thing I saw. Another one, which is even bigger now, we can totally talk about this, is spinning wheels, like very unproductively spinning their wheels. Like there, I always say there's a lot in entrepreneurship. There's always something we can be doing. There's always something. But it's extremely hard to sift through like all the good things we can do for the great things. And I saw a lot of creative entrepreneurs like, we're just trying to do it all. And we're mostly multitasking, juggling, many moms. So we're working part-time or side hustlers. They still have a full-time job. And it's like, if all these things, like nobody's making forward momentum because we're trying to do so many things. So those are kind of three of the main first patterns that I was like, these are the same no matter what industry. So what if I could create a strategy and a process that can solve these things for every industry. And that's what I did.
Yeah, that's fascinating, because all three of those things, I'm just shaking my head like, yes, yes, I can totally see that. Maybe we've experienced some of those as well.
Yeah.
Even going back to the very first one, all right, money coming in, a lot of money coming in, and then money just going out. Do you see that there's common places that that money goes out on? Like, do people, are people like just putting it back into their business, or is it
always
they just, yeah. So how, always. So what kind of tips do you give people on like, hey, you can't just put all this back in your business. Like, some of this has to go in your pocket maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I always say first, and I don't know if I should say it because I probably should get in trouble for saying it, but I'm always like, if you have a CPA that tells you that not paying taxes is a goal, like a good thing, like that should be your goal, like you need to leave that CPA immediately.
I have a good friend who is a CPA who would say the exact same thing.
Okay.
All right. So I think
this is our disclaimer. I'm not a CPA. I've been out of the finance world for real in that capacity a long time. But I say that because, but I think a lot of us operate under that mindset and not seeing like your business money is your personal money. Mm-hmm. And so every dollar that's spent, I think just spending without intention, and something actually I go back to my days in personal finance and for small business owners where I used to work and, you know, as a financial advisor, I used to always say what most people need more than anything else is a budget. And I think I always kind of make a joke, like budgets become a 6-letter curse word, especially mm-hmm. to creative entrepreneurs, because it feels like a no, it feels like oppressive. But so I turned that around and I call that a spending plan. We all need a plan for how we're going to spend. And it amazes me that most entrepreneurs that I work with don't have it. They get this money in, but they've never like kind of earmarked like where is that? I think Dave Ramsey says like name every dollar. Mm-hmm. And I love that so much because it's like, okay, you tell your money where to go. And I think that's really freeing. Like I have a house cleaner. I have money for, I get new clothes every 3 months. Like I have set aside dollars for that and I have freedom to mm-hmm. spend it. And that's what I love about having a spending plan, and something I establish with every person I work with. It's like, where are your dollars going? Then you feel free and you don't feel so much guilt and shame. And especially for women who maybe aren't contributing to their household and their spouses are like, what are you doing? You know, it's a great way to be like, how can you contribute? And I think that's where we find money they didn't even realize they had.
So in developing a budget, and I'm so thankful for Krista, because I love thinking about those things, you know, budgeting, where our finances are, you know, where our money is going. But Krista is the one that actually has the discipline to make sure that we are following, you know, that budget.
Yeah,
love that. I know that we've used Mint in the past to set our budget. Do you have a favorite money spending plan tool? And I love how you reframe that, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. So no, actually, I still am old school and pen to paper.
Uh-huh.
So I wish I had brought it with me, but so a few years ago, I thought it was crazy that business owners don't spend time each year to plan for the next year. And so that's something every single year in finance we did. We would get away with our little office and we would set all of our goals and set our sales goal and all that stuff. And so I kind of carried that through and I started this thing called Blueprint Retreat back in the day. Actually, here's a funny story. The day I launched my website, I also launched Blueprint Retreat.
Wow.
Like I had 200 followers on Instagram. Nobody knew who I was. I'm like, I'm going to do a workshop. It's going to be great. But anyway, so I created this workbook though. And I still use mine. It's called my Blueprint Year now. And I, every single month, still write out my personal budget. I tried Mint, but I just electronically was too much for me. So every year I sit down and it's just an Excel document or mm-hmm. Google Doc now, and create our annual plan. Like, so I know here's the salary we're going to pay ourselves and here's all the ways that we're going to places we're going to put that money, either monthly or annually. So we have budgets for travel, clothes, you know, we have Kyle, my husband's, and he likes to fly. So mm-hmm. we have like a flying budget. So we have all of that. And then I just literally every single month write it out. I love that. That's so helpful for me just to be like, okay, that bill was paid and check, check, check. And so I'm sorry, I don't have a great software tool, still old school pen to paper.
You know, I mean, what's interesting about that, and something that I think I just realized about myself in the last year, is that I actually, maybe things just stick with me more when I write them down before, you know, I love technology, so I use plenty of it. But even like goal planning, If I write down my to-do list, let's say, which I know to-dos and goals aren't the same, but if I write down my to-do list and then I put it into the app that I use to track those to-dos, for whatever reason, it sticks with me a little bit more. So I'm sure there's something there that's helpful about writing it down. Do you have, is this something that you've created that you share with others? Is there a place that somebody could purchase this or get access to it or attend a retreat and learn it?
That's such a great question. So as of last year, we made it available to all the people, all my students in the Blueprint model. But this year I'm redeveloping it because it really paired very much with the curriculum. It really wasn't a standalone product. Mm-hmm. They'd have to at least understand my philosophy and how I do it. But now we're working really hard this year to make it so that it's standalone. So hopefully this fall it'll be available.
Let us know when that becomes available.
Okay.
So is there anything else about setting a budget that people should know just in terms of like where to start with all of that?
I think I have two points I'm going to make there. The first is I see a lot of people get really bogged down in the details of it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I always say like you want to make it specific enough where it's meaningful but not so specific that you won't follow it.
Yeah.
And so I feel like some people – I love the idea of naming every dollar, but we have a cash spending allowance. Second point, we don't track how much money goes towards groceries, mm-hmm. towards eating out. I don't really care. That's way too detailed for me, mm-hmm. but a weekly, we do $260 a week for Kyle and I, if that gives anybody a reference point. We don't have any children. So $260 a week. And that's where that goes for all of our spending.
Okay.
If I want to go to Target or something, it's just we also do personal, like I get money from that, Kyle gets money that we don't ask each other how that's spent. And I love that. I mean, it's like $10 a week. I think we started like $5 a week and I'll go to, I used to go to the gas station and get myself a Diet Coke, which I don't drink anymore, which is sad, but which is good. But it doesn't even matter how much it is. But so that's something I want to say, don't get so detailed that you won't follow it. And we don't track all of what I love about the weekly cash spending. If people are familiar with Dave Ramsey, I think we do it very differently with that. That was a little, I've never actually even read, I don't even know the whole Dave Ramsey process.
Total Money Makeover, I think.
I don't know how all that works, but I do love having a weekly cash amount. So I always say, I don't care where it goes. I just care that I only spend the $260 a week. So that's really great for us. So I would say don't get too bogged down.
Yeah.
And just how much is coming in, where is it going, and just have a plan.
Yeah, I think one of the adjustments we made, since college, I think right when we got married, right out of college, we tried to be so specific about everything. And, that inevitably leads to failure. And then it inevitably leads to an argument, and then it inevitably leads to just not doing it at all. Right. So I 100% agree with that. And that resonates with me for sure. Perfect. So transitioning to point number two, you were talking about the pricing formula. I have a feeling that you're going to solve a lot of people's headaches right here. So how should a creative entrepreneur price their services? What does that formula look like?
So it's kind of just like I say with the budget. I do a budget reverse. I start with your need first, and then work backwards to your sales goal or what your salary is. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I do pricing the exact same way. I believe we can't know anything about a price until we know cost. Mm-hmm. And so the first recommendation I would make to everyone listening who's like, let me give this into a story, right? When I worked with my fashion designer, she only worked with silks, and silks are a very expensive product. And, mm-hmm. And so she would sell her shirts for some of them are almost $300. And so you would walk into that fashion designer's shop and be like, how is she not making profit? This shirt costs $300. And coming from somebody who wore Walmart tennis shoes on my very first day, embarrassing. I didn't know. I was just like, they've got to be rolling in the money, right? Mm-hmm. So we always look at price and we think that it determines value or what somebody's making, right? But what happened was I realized it was actually her cost. It was so high. Even at $300, she never would have made profit. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see with a lot of entrepreneurs. They're spending so much. Price doesn't really mean anything. And so we compare it to other people's price, then it really gets confusing because it's just, we don't understand why they price the way they do. So I say, first and foremost, sit down and figure out what your cost is. So that's material costs, like, so for photography, if they're for film photography, do you have an outsourced editor? Mm-hmm. What are the actual costs? Travel costs? Do you have a second shooter? What are the like actual costs? And then also, how much time are you putting into it? So if you, this is one of the things we never think about because we're doing it and we're like getting paid is secondary, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, if there's leftover, I'll pay myself.
Yeah.
But we have to think like, what if you couldn't shoot that wedding? Who, you would have to pay somebody to come in and do it. That should be calculated into your cost. And then once you understand your cost, I always add margin. Mm-hmm. And the margin is that fancy financial word, but it's just leftover. And so it's like, that's exactly my formula. Understand cost, use a multiplier to give yourself margin every time, and then you get your price. And what's great about that, and then there's this whole like, then how do you spend it? But the margin is what goes to pay you as the business owner, not just the photographer, but you as the business owner, and all the overhead. What I see a lot is that people price just to cover their cost. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, or they like price to cover their cost and then add a little bit and feel like they're rolling in it. But the moment that they take on staff, or they need to take on staff, or they need to take on rent, they get more expenses. They have to like really, really increase their prices very quickly. And that becomes very stressful. And so I try to teach the idea of pricing for profit, even when it feels like a lot of money.
Sure.
Because that's just, that is how ultimately the business has to run. One day, most people will have a studio. One day, most people will have staff, whether it's a virtual assistant or not. Mm-hmm. You have to price those things in the beginning. So it all starts with cost.
So I think one of the most difficult parts of pricing, and you mentioned it in that formula, is pricing for time. Because, you know, especially when you're first getting started and you're just grateful to pick up that first wedding or whatever, and you're thinking, you know, and one of the things that we warn against is having an all day collection. You know, as wedding photographers, we did that where we had like the unlimited collection, and that was just absolutely miserable. Obviously didn't value our time.
Yeah.
But how do you teach people to put a number on their mm-hmm. time?
I love that. I love that story so much, Davey, because I think often this is such a thing for creative entrepreneurs. We think if we give the moon, the client will realize we gave them the moon,
yeah.
and it means more value. Mm-hmm. But in reality, that's just you. I mean, I'm sure you know. Like over time, you just see they don't. Oftentimes our clients don't really value the fact that we're spending all day with them. They don't get mm-hmm. it because that's all they've ever known.
Yeah.
And so it's just like you're trying to give them this big bonus, but yet they don't really realize it. And then there's this bitterness that happens. And anyway, so the first thing I would say is always, always, always know how much time goes into something. And a lot of creative entrepreneurs don't. And I didn't either. This is something I myself didn't know. And so I'm a big advocate of tracking time. I use a free app called Toggle, T-O-G-G-L. Do you know Toggle? It's the best.
Yeah, we brought on my sister. She's working for us now, and she uses Toggle to track her time.
It's so great.
Yeah.
And I know that's a whole different conversation. How do you track your time when you're working on multiple projects? So mm-hmm. Don't get too crazy on that. But
sure.
We just need to know how much time actually goes into a project. Because it's not just the amount of time you're at the wedding. It's the editing time. Mm. It's the prep time. It's packing your gear. It's actually booking the client. And so I think it's really important to understand just even three projects from start to finish. How long does it take? And then I always say, you actually are two different people. Okay. So stick with me for a second. You are first, I'm going to say you wear two hats and you should get paid for two hats. So the first hat is the photographer hat, like mm-hmm. the actual creative role that you're doing. And this, when you're starting out, anybody starting out, I would say you need to kind of price your time as the amount it would cost you to replace yourself. So, and I get that that's hard, like nobody can paint that painting or shoot just like you, but if you had to hire someone, mm-hmm. probably $20, $30 an hour, depending on location, could be up to $50, mm-hmm. that's where you kind of start as an hourly rate.
Yeah.
And you just need to know, again, like what is the cost? Just like that worker bee has to be replaced if you can't do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, and then you also should get paid later as the business owner. Mm-hmm. And that's what that comes in with the whole margin. So yeah, when you're thinking about time, I think the biggest thing is understanding how much time goes into a project. And then I just say, calculate what it would cost you to actually hire somebody to replace that and start there.
I wish we somebody had told that to us when we first got started. For real, I think it would have saved us a lot of headaches, you know, for sure. When we first got started.
I think we think getting paid is a luxury. And if there's leftover money, then we get it. Yeah. But we have to realize, like, maybe as the business owner, that's a luxury. You know, it's like maybe the business owner gets paid from leftover, but you always are doing the work and you have to get paid for that work.
So the last thing that I want to talk about in this point is margin. And what exactly margin means. You know, because there's probably a bunch of people out there who are like, I don't know. It sounds like margarine. I don't know what any of that means. So could you unpack what that looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a friend tell me one time, she was like, when you say margin, I think of Microsoft Word, like a setting on Microsoft Word. And I'm like, get it. Absolutely. So margin is a fancy financial term, but I just think of it as white space, the leftover. And this, you can think about this with your time, with your money. In all areas, I say there should always be white space. And so in finance, the margin is the difference between your price and your cost. So it's the leftover amount. There should be leftover because that money is then, you know, spent for overhead and salary and all those extra things that we think, again, sometimes as luxuries. But so margin is just that leftover space. And I say that margin should be 60% of your price.
Okay.
So if anybody listening is out there, like, give me the number. I say 60%. I don't know. That's just through. I don't even know how that happened. It's funny. People ask me now, like, did you come up with that? And I'm like, I guess I did. That needs to be like a Shanna thing. But I've been, you know, through 12 years of finance, I've now seen that work through every creative industry in one way or another. The only time that that's different for anybody listening who's like, that doesn't work for me, is usually in the art world or anybody that's doing wholesale retail. Because there's, like, in the art world, galleries typically already take 50%. So there's just nothing you can do about that. But for most industries, it's about 40% cost, 60% margin. And that margin goes, again, to pay for salary and overhead and actual, like, money left in your business. But it's a... let's not get in the weeds, but yeah, they're just to be leftovers. And I would love to see people get to 60%. So it's like, if you price it $1,000, it shouldn't cost you more than $400.
Yeah. And what you're saying about white space, I feel like this is the, a perfect transition just to pause. Cause I want to get to, problem number three that people often fall into, which is doing everything themselves or doing too much. But before we get there, you take a sabbatical. Hey friends, we're going to take a quick 60-second break so I can introduce you to one of my favorite companies and the sponsor of this episode, Showit. Showit is a drag-and-drop website building platform created especially for photographers and creative entrepreneurs. It's used by some of the biggest names in the creative industry, from Amy and Jordan Demos to Caitlin James, and it's what we built our website on too. What's awesome about Showit is that it's both powerful and easy to use. The intuitively designed website builder makes it easy to change colors, fonts, images, and objects. Finally, a website you can update on your own without having to hire a designer for every tiny change. It's Google friendly, and you can design the desktop and mobile versions of your website side by side to ensure your website looks great on any device. And you can even integrate a WordPress blog with your Showit website, making it that much more powerful. And guess what? They have tons of free and premium professionally designed website templates to help you get started. But what makes Showit such a special company is their customer support. They're super responsive and are there to help every step of the way. You can even save 10% on an annual subscription by using the code BTBSHOW. For more information, check out the show notes. And now, back to our episode. Yeah, and what you're saying about white space, I feel like this is the... a perfect transition just to pause, because I want to get to problem number three that people often fall into, which is doing everything themselves or doing too much. But before we get there, you take a sabbatical every year, right?
Yeah.
And so that do you recommend that for everybody?
That's such a great question. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes is the answer. I've never been asked that point blank, like, do I? But absolutely, I do. because I believe, I think it was Henry David Thoreau says you can't hear music and noise at the same time. And I think for me, when you have your head down and you're just doing all the things you have to do, and especially now in our world that's very like inundated with noise or social media, a lot of interaction with people, it becomes very hard to do like true deep work, you know, that Cal Newport, like deep work. So absolutely, I do. It's transformed my business. And also, it's just fun. So yeah, absolutely.
No, I think rest just in general is so important. And I can tell one of the difficult transitions from being primarily wedding photographers to now we're doing, you know, the heart of our business is Davy and Krista, custom branding and design, you know, everything that comes with that, was that we would work all week and then potentially shoot a wedding. And then so our weekend's gone, and you just feel drained when Monday comes around. But on weekends where we can actually rest, enjoy time with each other, go see friends, you know, Monday looks a lot different. And the same is true, I think, from going on a long vacation. You know, if you can get away, if you can get out of your office even for 2 weeks, for me, I find that by the end of that 2 weeks, I'm rested. But then also, like, you know, day 11, 12, 13, 14, I'm actually looking forward to getting back in the office and tackling whatever projects that I have, you know, laid out and set before me. So I love that you take a sabbatical, and that you've built a business that allows you to do that, because your sabbatical is what, 4 to 6 weeks usually?
Yes.
Yeah, that's incredible. And so to get to a point in your business where your business allows you to do that, I think is just the dream. So
absolutely.
So moving
on. Totally possible for everyone out there.
Yeah. And I do want to talk a little bit more about that. But moving on to that last point, you had mentioned that last pitfall. Is people taking on too much?
Yeah, kind of spinning wheels, not knowing where to put their focus.
So how do you deal with that with people?
Yeah. So I would say, like, I come from a numbers background. So I naturally go to numbers first, right? So a marketing person's going to go to marketing first. A tech person's going to go to technology first. I think like your solutions here, right? So I don't want to say this is the end all be all, but for me and most of my clients at this point, I've worked with over 1,000 entrepreneurs. And I mean, I should just really count it up, probably double that. And I've spoken to, you know what I mean, tens of thousands of people, which is pretty amazing. And what I've found is that I call these like numbers to know. And I think that what I see a lot is that so often we're focused on activity, but we're not focused on outcome. And so when I worked in finance, every single week we had a meeting with our office, and we had to track like how many phone calls we made, how many meetings we had, how many asks, like how many people time we asked people by. So we called it activity, right? So it was like all this activity. And we reported every week our activity to our team. And so I always found that my activity was always lower than everybody else, but my outcomes were just about where everybody else were, higher. And so I started thinking about, how does this relate to the creative world? And how can we find, I think there's always, I call them the should do's. Everybody knows that we can just list them off. We should have an email list. We should post on social media 3 times a day at these segments. And we should blog. We should. And we get so caught up in the shoulds. It gets real. And we're only one person. Most of us don't have teams. And so it's like, how do we do all these things? So I started focusing on, how can you cut that clutter and focus on, if you want to make money in your business, what are the things that make money? Mm-hmm. How can you book those 10 clients? Like, and so I just started, I call them like numbers to know, and focusing on like your sales goal. What is your purpose this year? And when you know that, it allows you to say, like, that's a good thing, but that's not a great thing for me. So for an example, one of those things for me was social media. Last year, about a year ago, I decided that I was going to take a year-long break from Instagram and Facebook. I called it my social media experiment. I documented the whole thing to see what happened. And because I started realizing like this felt too important for my business. And I'm not a marketing person. I've never been taught anything about marketing. So I love that you said brands that book. Like, I don't know anything about branding.
Well, it's a testament, I think, to how, you know, how much you've helped people and how much you've served people, that people keep on talking about it. And you still, even not being on social media, have an online presence, you know, whether you, whether you're even aware of it.
I don't know. And it's so funny that I think this goes really good to this point. Like there are some things, and that's different for everybody. So I don't, this is different, right? I can't tell everybody what it is, but like there are some things for me, it was like, how can I get in the heads of the people I'm working with? And if I can keep getting in their head and keep providing solutions, then I don't have to just like be in their face all the time. I can just do good work and let the referral, you know, hopefully let the talk keep growing. So that's why I thought I'm going to go on social media and see what happens. At that time, it did brought in about 95% of the traffic to my website. So that was a dumb idea, but it worked. And so I think for anybody listening, like you think the first thing admitting, like we can't do it all. So if we can only do a few things really well, what are the things that are moving you towards your goals and towards that outcome you're looking for? And sometimes that means giving up what other people say is a really good thing. And I've just learned, like, I go off the grid 6 months at a time. I'm just like, I can't handle it all. I haven't written a newsletter in 3 months. And I feel bad for that. I'm like, darn it, I could be doing so much more. But I'm just like, no, this is, I need to focus. And these are my priorities. And that's what I give my attention to.
I feel like there is an analogy there, even with money, you know, when we first started our business, I remember we got paid for $400 for our first wedding and thought, wow, you know, if we could only charge $1,000 and we could do 30 of them a year, we're going to make $30,000. And we're so excited about that. And you know, we've come so far since that. We're charging more than $1,000, or we, you know, we charge more than $1,000 per wedding. But it's funny, at nowhere, you know, it's so easy along the way to realize, you know, $30,000 a year, I mean, an extra $30,000 a year at one point would have been just so incredible, right? Yeah, but then when you just don't notice as you surpass that, you know, all of a sudden it's not enough anymore, you know? And I think it's easy to get in that scarcity mindset, like, oh, I just need to go in and do more.
Yeah.
Do you, like, how much of having a healthy money mindset do you think is psychological?
Yeah. Oh,
all just of perspective.
It.
Yeah.
Every amount of it. So I love how you said that, because enough is a moving target. And I think the only way to feel content is to stop the target and to say, like, this is my goal. And with that goal, I am doing X, Y, and Z. And that is enough. And and I think enough's my favorite word. And I think enough has somehow gotten a negative connotation. Like it's enough, like I'm survive, like it's surviving. But I don't think of it that way at all. I think enough is like, this is our need. This is what we have to have. And it's doing all these things. Because one thing I don't think anybody's really talking about until you get to that point is like, enough is a moving target. I used to think, I mean, I remember praying every single month, like, I don't know how we're going to make our bills this month. Like, but somehow it always came through, you know. And Kyle and I, he used to work at the airport, and he would get, he worked at like a private airport, so they would give tips. That's like how we bought our groceries, you know. And now, I mean, we've been so blessed financially. I'm so thankful for that. But it's funny, I still sit and I'm like, okay, I could do this and I could do that and all these ideas. And ideas are great, but it's like, what is the trade-off? And sometimes we have to say, like, this is enough, because that gives us freedom, gives me freedom to not go pursue all of those things at once and just be exhausted. My friend told me the other day, she was watching an interview with Martha Stewart, and this like just sank, like I'm just holding on to it. Martha Stewart at the time was 75 years old. And this person said to the interviewer, said to Martha, like, when are you should do this, or when are you going to do that, or something like that. And again, she's 75, and she said, there's always more time for that. And I was just like, oh, yes, like that is such beautiful freedom. Like I think in our very constant, very moving world, we think if we don't do it now, we're never going to get to. I think that way too. I still think that way. And, but what gives me peace is like, we have enough. We have enough right now. I can stop working for the rest of the year. And that's what gives me freedom to get to do that. And it's like, but I will never be content if I don't let that be enough.
And I think that following, listening to the, you know, the advice that you preach, you know, actually writing things down, setting a budget, really, you know, takes away some of that anxiety, because we have, have sales goals for sure for Davey and Krista, you know, things, we have goals around that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, if there's a near miss or there's a miss, you know, I can look at our budget and say, hey, you know, we're paying our bills. You know, we can pay our mortgage. We have a roof over our head. And so actually writing those things down, you know, and actually spending the time, even though that money just it can be overwhelming, taking the time to go through that kind of stuff definitely curbs the anxiety, you know, when you get in that mindset of I don't have enough, you know, or look at what everybody else is doing. They seem to be making so much more money or whatever, you know, whatever lies they are that you're thinking, you know.
Yeah. It's so much freedom, I think. It's freedom to know, to me, I would say you need to know at least your bare minimum. I do a need, a want, and I call it no bounds, but need, want, no bounds. And I set goals that way, which is really cool to be an entrepreneur and be like, if we do this, we can do that. But what's wonderful and what's beautiful is if I need to rest, I feel okay with that because I know what we need. And I love how you said that, like, we're very intentional with the way we spend. I think if I could leave everybody with nothing else, I want to say wealth is not about how much money you make. It's about how you spend the money you make. And when you know that, it gives a lot of freedom to rest and say, like, we can pay our bills. I know how we're going to do that. And a lot, you don't have to strive so hard.
That is, that's awesome. I'm so excited for people to hear that. So two scenarios I want to talk about real quick. If somebody is starting a business or they're in the beginning phases, maybe they're still working a full-time 9-to-5 corporate world, you know, but they have this interest in floral design or whatever it is, where should they start with money? Like, where should they start?
I think the biggest is I'm always surprised to know how many new business owners or all of us don't have a sales goal. And a sales goal is just saying, like, how much do I want to sell this month, this quarter, this year? So for anybody that's new, I think this is a really great place to start because it gives you a target to shoot for. And it's like, okay, if I want to make $10,000 this year and I'm charging $1,000 a wedding, I need to book 10 weddings. How can I find 10 people that I can work with? And it breaks down something that feels daunting into something that's more bite-sized. And so, like, okay, I know I can get, that's one client off my list. Okay, now I've booked two, now I've booked three. And so knowing, especially if you're trying to leave a job, knowing what is the number that allows you to leave. And oftentimes I want to challenge people, it's not always the money you're making. That's a big misconception. What do you need to leave? What do you have to have? And then how do you start there? Because just like for us, you know, it took me almost 2 years to really start my business. And I'm so thankful. I did everything and anything I could to make that money, but I knew what we had to have. And that's a really, I think it's like, what is a little workout class? Like, you can do anything for 30 seconds, right? It's like, if you know when the end is, you can keep pushing till you get there. So you kind of make that target, I guess.
Yeah. Amy and Jordan said something similar about when they were working towards, you know, leaving their business. They knew there was going to be a season of hustle. They knew, not leaving their business, I'm sorry, as they were starting their business and they were leaving their teaching positions, they knew there was going to be a season of hustle, but they knew that it was temporary and they had a very clear plan of what it would take for them to go full-time in that business. And I think that made all the difference. And as I interview different people, you know, those people with a plan like that seem to, you know, they seem to reach their goals. They seem to get out of that, you know, working a 9-to-5 and that side hustle at the same time.
So, and faster.
And faster. And the second scenario I want to talk about is somebody who has a business, you know, maybe they're in that situation where they have a lot of money coming in and a lot of money going out and they just feel like, you know, it's hectic. They can't do it on their own. What are there resources they can turn to get their stuff together so that they're not anxious about money or worrying about, you know, whether their business is going to be in business next month or next year?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I like feel very called to help that person. So I'm, you know, I hope over the next few years to continue making resources. I think that there aren't a ton of great, this is why I'm one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this. I don't think there's a lot of resources out there that talk to us, that talk to people that are creative, maybe have a different goal with money and business. But I would say the very first thing I would say is awareness is the key to change. And so if you really don't know where your money's going, I just encourage people to print off their bank statements for the last 3 months and just sit down and take a look. Because oftentimes, I've done this for years with my clients, many times at Starbucks. So everyone listening is lucky. I'm not taking them to Starbucks. There's a lot of tears and a lot of why, like people just, how did I make so much money and not keep any of it? And I think the biggest is just look where your money is going and then say, like, is that where I want it to go? Mm-hmm. Do I want to spend, I don't know, I spent $1,000 in a month on eating out, $500 on Starbucks.
Wow.
I was like, that's crazy. That love a good Starbucks, but nobody needs that much coffee. And so just like there's little tweaks that you can make just to see like, where do you want your money to go? And there's probably a lot more opportunity there to hold on to it than we think. So just take a look.
Yeah. So you teach about all this stuff. You have the blueprint model. What mm-hmm. are the different aspects of that? If somebody you know is listening to this and they're like, I need that in my life and business right now, how do they get connected with you? What are the various forms? I know you have a retreat. You have like mm-hmm. a more electronic, digital, like do you have a course that people can go through?
Yeah. So all that I offer right now as we speak, but hopefully will change soon. All I offer right now is the Blueprint Model. And the Blueprint Model is a 12-week coaching program. And it's in January every single year. And it's basically a strategy program based on my philosophy about business, which is business built for life. It's the idea of understanding our finances from a perspective of most people that I work with don't want to build multi-million dollar empires. They want to make six figures and go home and be with their kids.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that philosophy about business. And it works through three stages. It talks about the strategy of our business. Like, what do you want your business to be like? Because I think that's really important and a step most people don't think through in the sense that like all of our businesses aren't going to look the same. Because we have different goals in it. So it's like the strategy of business. Then I talk about systems and operations where we really sift through that clutter. And then the last is all my philosophy about money. And I created a financial toolkit with how do you track your income? How do you understand where you're spending, creating a spending plan, sales goal, all that stuff. So that's what I do every single year. And then every year I have a conference for those students called Blueprint Summit, and that's in November. But I would actually love, Davey, what I would love is anybody can go to my website, shannaskidmore.com, and email me what are their biggest pain points about money. And as a financial, because I don't think there's a lot of financial education for creative entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And I would love to, as a former financial advisor, start talking more about that. So I want to know, is it personal? Is it business? Is it holding on to your cash? Is it creating a spending plan? What are their pain points? And then I would love to hopefully get to solve some of those needs in the next few months or next year. And I think the other person would maybe be Christy Wright, I think. I don't know Christy, but I think she does work with primarily women-owned small businesses as well. So she's a Dave Ramsey person, and she could be a great resource as well right now, since I don't have anything right now.
And speaking of your website, though, there is a great tool on your website, right, that people can go on. It's a quiz. Tell us about that.
Yes. Okay, so it's a quiz called the Focus Finder, and my goal in that was I get emails basically daily. I don't right now do one-on-one coaching because I have hundreds, almost 500 students right now in my
incredible.
The Blueprint Model, which is crazy. So I'm pretty full, like loving and coaching them. And so I don't do any one-on-one coaching. And the reason is I wanted to create a baseline that everybody, as I was getting the same question. So go through the Blueprint Model, then we can coach. So I was like, how can I coach people without getting on the phone with them? So I developed this quiz with my brand designer and website developer. And we developed this quiz. So it's 5 questions, and it determines your stage in business. And from there, it gives you the 3 things you need to be doing right now in your business. So it's called the Focus Finder. And why I love that is because it sifts through all the really good things, and it tells you the 3 essential things you have to do in your business. Whether you're a dreamer, so I call it in the weeds, or the hustler, the growth mode. So this is the person who's wanting to scale up, build their team. And then the last one's the scale out, phase out. So this is the person who's built it, done it. Now they want to like an exit strategy. Mm-hmm. So there's 4 phases, and it tells you like, okay, based on these 5 questions, where, what phase you're in, and here are the three essential things that you should do next. And so it's kind of my way of coaching. I've had hundreds, thousands of people take it at this point. And it's really cool because they get this whole, like, laid out all the resources, blog posts, some free stuff, some purchasing stuff. Like, it's really great.
Okay, awesome. And so you also, and you blog. I see you post blog posts fairly regularly. So that's definitely a resource for people to check out. Head on over to your website. That sounds like the best way to learn more about you. And I think, you know, if you are struggling with something financially, taking you up on that offer to email you, you know, do it, you know, so that the best possible resources are created, you know, for the specific issues that you are created or you are facing right now. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to share your expertise. I am so excited for people to listen to this interview because I think it's just full of practical advice that I wish that I knew back when we were first getting started back in 2010. So thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks, Davey. Yeah, thank you so much for asking me. It was awesome to spend time with you.
Thanks for listening to the Brands That Book podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing to the podcast on iTunes and leaving a review so that others are more likely to find it. For show notes and other resources, visit davianchrista.com.